guys, welcome back to my show. In this episode, I am interviewing Taylor Brigitte. She's an amazing singer-songwriter, and some of you may recognize her voice from the song called Quarter Life Crisis. It's actually the song that got me interested in her music. It's amazing, and it's a very beautiful song. In fact, she's an amazing singer-songwriter as well, and has many songs under her belt. Hi, Taylor. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking out the time to be on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So please introduce yourself and maybe sing a few lines of your favorite song that you've written.
For sure. So my name is Taylor Brigitte. I currently live in Nashville, Tennessee. Been singing and writing songs pretty much my whole life. But recently, in the past year, my song Quarter Life Crisis that you mentioned kind of was like my breakthrough into the world of music. I'd been releasing music, but that song went viral and got recognized by way more people than I had ever heard my music before, which was super cool. And just got me really excited for the future of me as an artist. And if you're listening, you might recognize there's a little clip that went viral on the internet. It was like people showing their before and after, like transitions from when they were 16 to now. And so that line in the song goes, I swear 16 was yesterday, but now I'm closer to 28. That's just the little clip that everyone knows, which is funny when I play a show and it's like kind of quiet and then that part, and then people start singing and then they don't know. But so that's kind of that was my most recent single up until this past week, actually. And then I released another song called Idiot that's out now. That's me.
Check that out. I mean, she's very beautiful with music, and I think, you know, like that line is kind of like the best part for me. I think personally, I'm not 16 yet. I'm going to turn 16 later next year, but it just like, you know, touches hearts, you know. Even if you have not really experienced what Quarter Life Crisis is about, you can really feel the emotion and understand. I think that's the best part about music. You can just feel emotions without actually experiencing it yourself. And I think that's just really cool for me.
Yeah, for sure. I have some people commenting being like, I'm 16, but I still relate to this. Because I think it's just that idea of like growing up and being scared of the future and not knowing what you're doing with your life is like kind of universal. I mean, my parents say that they relate to it sometimes and they're in their 50s. So it's really, yeah, it's a universal feeling, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you're saying kind of feels like I've heard this before in an interview where like people are like always saying that, like, you know, they relate to it despite not being the age of the song meant for. Because to be honest, even though there's like maybe a target audience for the song, maybe young adults, teenagers, adults, children, everyone listens to it. Like Olivia Rodrigo, Taylor Swift, they're all like singers that every age group listens to. Maybe popular within a certain age or more, but everyone listens to it and everyone somewhat loves it or, you know, has their opinion on it.
For sure.
My next question for you is, what got you into music?
I just have been obsessed with music forever. My parents were music lovers, but they're not musical. Like they, you know, my dad maybe played like saxophone and piano in high school, but you know, they don't sing or anything, but they just love music. There's always music playing in my house. My mom loved musicals. So she'd be playing like Andrew Lloyd Webber, like Phantom of the Opera, Cats. And then my dad would be playing like AC/DC and Queen and country music. So I had like such a wide variety. And I think I just kind of, it's just when it's in your blood, you just kind of naturally find it. And my mom always used to say that I would just sing in my crib all day, and that I was her first kid, so she just assumed that all kids were like that, that like they just didn't need to be entertained, didn't need to be played with. I literally could just lay there and sing to myself and entertain myself. And then she had a friend come over, and her friend was like, you know, your baby actually has really good pitch. And she was like, what do you mean? Like, don't all kids sound like that? And she's like, no, my kids are terrible at singing. And so my mom was like, oh, okay. So from there, they kind of always, you know, were like, we should put her in voice lessons or musical theater. And I just was obsessed with it.
Yeah, I think it's like really cool how you started off young. I mean, it always helps to have some connection to music prior. But I mean, it's always like, you know, it doesn't really matter when you start. I mean, like, it's really cool, like, how music works out. I mean, as I said earlier, it's just a matter of like, you know, learning it as you go. Like, even if you start at like, I don't know, 30 or 40, you'll be still learning music. Just that when you start younger, you may have more time to develop your voice versus just jumping in at an older age. But again, like, you
For
know,
sure.
it's like a creative thing, so anyone can do any sort of creative aspect of their life at any moment. They could write, they could sing, they could dance, do whatever. I mean, as long as you have the motivation to actually work hard enough to get your dreams come true, I don't think there's any issue with your age until the point where it's something physical that maybe you may or may not be able to do. But again, it's just about
Totally.
trying and like never giving up.
Yeah, that is so true. Like, I always think back to, oh, I wish my parents hadn't let me quit piano lessons because I wish I was better at piano now. But I am so glad that, like, the path that I've taken myself on, like, I've let music kind of find me where I'm at. And I think, yeah, maybe I'll be like 80 and decide I want to like start painting or something. Like, I think just having a creative spirit is like the most important part of anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I think just a matter of like, you know, just starting whenever, just starting something at some point is just the best thing ever.
Yeah, 100%.
So this kind of brings me to like a fun question for you. What are some of the favorite pop icons you actually admire?
Oh, okay. Pop icons, you mean like art, like artists?
Yeah, it could be anyone, like singing wise or
Okay.
songwriting or anything of that sort.
Yes. Okay. So I definitely, songwriting wise, really admire some of the like iconic female songwriters, Dolly Parton, Carole King, Joni Mitchell. And those are kind of like, you know, more in the more recent history, but then in like current times, like I love Sarah Bareilles, Taylor Swift, of course. Just some of these songwriters who like tell such amazing stories, but also make really catchy music. Like, that is hard to do, to like have that narrative almost like folk sounding, but then you also integrate like the pop sensibility into it. And that's what I really try to do. Like, I love to tell a story, but at the end of the day, like, I'm making pop music and I want it, you know, I want people to be able to sing along. And so I've always really admired all of them and their songwriting. And then just like, I think I grew up listening to, I loved Ariana Grande, still do. Like, her voice is spectacular. Beyonce, my mom said that I just like would listen to Destiny's Child all the time and Beyonce. And just like from a vocal perspective, those two, Kelly Clarkson, just some of the like iconic, like I was really big into American Idol when I was a kid. We'd always watch it. And I just really admire artists who are not only amazing artists, but also have such amazing vocal technique. Like, Lady Gaga is another one. She can sing any genre. Like, she can sing classical music. Like, her voice is timeless. And I'm so inspired by that because I love songwriting. I love being an artist, but also singing. Like, that's where I started, which is like taking voice lessons and doing classical and doing choir and musical theater. So that's like really important to me.
Yeah, I mean, like it's really cool. Like, you know, Ariana Grande, Kelly Clarkson, all these names you mentioned are big time classics. Some of them are more recent, versus some of them are a little on the older end. But I mean, Dolly Parton too. Like, she's amazing. Like, she tells a story, but is also very catchy. I mean, now I think she's into rock as well, right? She has a new album coming up in November called Rockstar Girl.
Yeah, I heard that. She never stops. She's such an icon, not only in music, but also
Absolutely,
just
and I
in her
think.
personality.
Yeah, and then I think music just runs in a family. She has Miley Cyrus, I believe, is her goddaughter, right? And
That sounds right.
Billy Ray Cyrus, and then they have Noah Cyrus. There's like a bunch of like music in their family, and I think it's just really cool how like, you know, music can just spread from one person to the other.
For sure, yeah. It's like when you're so passionate about it, it's naturally gonna inspire the people around you, I think.
Yeah, and I really agree with like what you said, the stories and music. Like, you kind of want them to go together and not just like lose one part. You want it to be
Totally.
catchy but not without a story. You want it to have a story but be catchy, you know. It has to kind of be in between where there's no mixture of both of them in unequal amounts. They kind of have like a mixture of both that work well together and not have like conflicting material. Like, maybe your song is about like how your quarter life crisis song is about a quarter life crisis it cannot be like, I mean, obviously everyone's interpretation of that song is different. You might write as a happy song, or someone might write a sad song or an upsetting song. I mean, everyone just has like different interpretations and different ways of thinking, and I think that is also a very fun aspect to, like, you know, look at when making music.
Yeah, I think it's really cool as well that, like, I can write a song that to me feels happy, but then someone else can hear it and be like, oh, this reminds me of this sad situation, and they get a completely valid feeling from it, but it's different. Or, you know, in the reverse, like, I'm like, oh, this is a breakup song, and someone's like, well, actually, to me, it's a love song because you say this and this or whatever. Like, it's just cool how it touches everyone in such different ways.
Yeah, like, there are many songs, like, In the Stars, you may have heard of that song. In the Stars is about Benson Boone losing his grandmother, but for someone else, for me, it could be about anyone, like, you know, losing, like, for me, I lost a dog recently, so I feel like it's related to that, but someone else might feel like it's about losing love, or losing at, like a test or something like that. You know, it's always, sometimes people feel it's materialistic, could be even a symbolic representation of something. Like, everyone, as you said, like, it's just like the pretty part of music. It's just like up to you to decide what you think of that song. Like, Quarter Life Crisis, again, I'm just taking like something because you're here and that's a wonderful song. It could mean a lot of things for you. I know it meant like a lot of things about growing up and like the struggles and things like that. Whereas for someone else, it could just be about their adulthood. Maybe they're growing from adulthood to, like, you know, seniority, and, like, you know, thinking about the time they missed or the time they have not spent well or things like that. And so
definitely.
I just find it, like, it's really interesting how this thing works. Like, I know not all creative, like, even for abstract painting, like, you know, you may see a tiger from one corner, but someone else might see a butterfly. You know, it's just up to our own representation or interpretation. If you know what I mean.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, my last and final question for you is, what is something no one knows about you? Like, you know, you're like your general fan base. What is some fun fact that, like, not your family, but, like, you know, your fans do not know about you?
Oh, okay. I don't know what made me think of this, but I was just texting my family about it the other day. So I have, like, a weird texture thing. This is so random, but I hate the feeling of cotton balls. Like, oh my god, the way, like, if imagining holding a cotton ball in my hand and, like, moving it across my fingers, like, grosses me out so much. Something about the texture that freaks me out, and I have, like, an irrational fear of them, which is just, like, so random, and I honestly forget about it because I avoid them at all costs. But I don't think I have ever really told anyone that besides, like, my family and close friends. So that's the most random fact I could think of.
I think, like, you know, that's actually what makes us unique, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Very unique, actually. I've never heard of anyone. pretty cool, though. I mean, like, you know, everyone has. And, like, the fact that you had the courage to share this, I know many people would not want to share, like, you know, personal fears. Like,
yeah,
stay out. Most of the time, you ask them about a fact. They'll be like,
no one better to, like, yeah. No one better send me cotton balls.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, most people would be like, you know, I like to eat pizza with chocolate. Like, okay, that's not the best thing, but, like, it's like, you know, kind of, like, you know, it's not, like, as bad, but, like,
yes.
You know, like,
I love, yeah.
Balls. Let me ask you more about this. So, I know, like, some, like, poodles and things, they feel like cotton balls too. So, do you have problems with poodles too?
Poodles, like the dogs?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. It's like, it's there, like, it's a certain sort of texture. Like, if you are, like, ripping a piece of cardboard and you, like, rip the cardboard, like, halfway, so it kind of goes like, that, you know, like, that is the same feeling that cotton balls give. Like, it's just like unsettling,
it's
you know.
Like, it's more about the texture rather than, like, the feeling of it. It's more of, like, the sort of sensory feeling it gives, rather than, like, you know, something you feel from the inside rather than what you actually touch. It doesn't just feel softer, it feels more of, like, something weird, like you're holding something.
Yeah, it's just like
tiny,
like,
object.
Yeah, the way that it moves across my, like, when I move it around my fingers, just like, oh, it just gives me the chills, like, it makes my hair stand up.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has their own thing. Yeah, it's pretty interesting though. I may as well know about that. Everyone out there, what I would like to tell you all, be brave like Taylor. Do not be afraid to mention stuff. I mean, of course, be safe. Do not mention this stuff to random people who you do not know. Which I mean, I guess Taylor's doing that with me because the first time
I
we
trust
chatted.
you.
Yeah, but I mean, what stays in the interview stays in the interview, right, guys? Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun.
Thank you so much. Everyone out there is saying, I'll put Taylor's website into the show notes, so feel free to check her music and be sure to check her latest song, Idiot, as well. Thank you so much, everyone, and have a great day. Bye.